We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan, live on location at the Well Bon-Secours Wellness Arena, getting you set for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits home opener against the Jacksonville Icemen this evening. All sorts of excited about that. Of course, the Greenville Swamp Rabbits have been pucking like Swamp Rabbits since 2006, and that pucking will continue this evening as the Jacksonville Icemen are in big trouble. 4-3 victors over the Icemen last week in overtime on the road, spoiling Jacksonville's home opener. Greenville looks to go 2-0, a much improved roster. They have an affiliation, not an affiliation. They have a relationship with the Florida Panthers.
Patrick can give you the exact term.
I think
partnership.
They have a partnership, but Jordan Koontz told me it was okay if I said they were friends with benefits. So Greenville and the Florida Panthers are friends with benefits.
I'm glad he put it in terms that you understand.
They have an affiliation with the Carolina Hurricanes. Our ugly brother state to the north in North Carolina. So before the break, Lonzo, you you and I were talking about this week we had National Face Your Fears Day, and Lonzo's fear for me to address internally is that I am not a conformer, and Lonzo says you should face your fear of conforming. You should learn to conform somewhere, some way, somehow.
Just a little bit.
Darth Chosen, he of the great diss track author, says, "Never conform to me whatsoever." Mine for you, Lonzo, and I need, you know, I'd like to have this quick conversation with you here. You have...
Just me and you, nobody else can hear it,
just
right?
Me and you.
Okay.
You have social anxiety, which I totally get, and I totally understand. I think on some level... all of us have some degree of social anxiety. Do you know I get nervous when I go on other people's radio shows? And I don't know why that is, but when you hear that right before they bring you on.
I think it's a power thing. You don't have any control. So
I have no control of the situation.
Yes, I
have to conform.
No, I get
when
it.
When I have to conform, I get very uncomfortable.
Thank you for confirming.
But here's the thing. If I told you to go talk to 50 people that were here in the concourse, you would get clammy and sweaty, and it would make you very uncomfortable. You left Patrick's wedding early because the social scene made you uncomfortable. I saw you uncomfortable at the ACC kickoff as well. So why is it that makes you uncomfortable, seeing the people makes you uncomfortable, when the reality is more people are listening to you right now, and it's almost like if you can't see them, that'll make you nervous.
Do we really want to get into this psychoanalysis?
I do. I'm interested in it.
All right. When you're told you're dumb and you're a mistake and everyone around you calls you dumb your entire life, then you start to develop, I don't want to talk to anybody because they're just going to put me down. So then it starts building and building and building, and it becomes a wall, an insurmountable wall that you just can't get past, can't go over it, can't go around it, can't go over it. It's there. You can't punch through it, even if you were the Incredible Hulk. That's a comic book character, by the way. And so
I love the Incredible Hulk.
And so because of all this, that builds up. And there have been a couple steps that I've tried to do without being diagnosed with social anxiety disorder. Is the first thing I did was join a fraternity because I wanted to be forced into situations that I normally wouldn't do on my own, which they did. And as a team, part of a team, which fraternity was, I was okay with it, but it still wasn't individual. So then the next thing was coming into radio, and radio has helped me a great deal. There was a time when I couldn't talk to you, I couldn't talk to her, I couldn't talk to anybody face to face. Football also helped because my coach, my senior year, made you make eye contact, and if you didn't, you had to run a lap. And I had to run a ton of laps before I finally got to the point where I was comfortable enough to where I could look someone in the eye. But here's the main thing. When I, for the most part, when we meet people, we are meeting people above our social standing, people who
speak for yourself.
People who are better educated, people who are into things that I'm not necessarily into. And because you work at a certain place, be it Word where you know it's mostly political, or be it here where it's mostly sports, they're going to want to talk to me about things that I know I don't know. And so it puts down the station, it puts me down, it puts me in a situation where I don't want anyone to look bad, so I'd rather just walk away and them go, okay, he's just a snob, he's a snot, he doesn't want to talk to anybody, because my mind literally goes blank sometimes. It just does.
So here's the thing.
And thank you for letting me talk about that on the air in front of the millions of people who are listening.
No, and I appreciate the guts that it takes to do that. I appreciate you doing that now.
But you thought I didn't know what's wrong with me. I know what's wrong with me.
No, no.
But I can't fix it.
No, well, here's where we differ. I know that you
know. Doing this more often will not make
okay.
it go away.
Well, here's the thing. I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with you. We all have anxieties. We all have skeletons in the closet. We all have fears. Lonzo, you know, you've seen me in the last couple of weeks have to deal with stress and anxiety that I've never had before in my life. I'm facing surgery. I've never had surgery. The closest thing I've had to surgery is an upper endoscopy and getting a tooth out. You know what I'm saying? So you've seen me under a level of stress that I've never been under, and I wouldn't say there's something wrong with me. I wouldn't say there's something wrong with you. I would also say this. I have seen you address this, and I have seen you tackle it, and I have seen you kick ass at it. And I think more than half of the issue internally is you telling yourself you can't do it. So I actually believe you've done a fantastic job of addressing this. And I do think it's so interesting that you can talk to thousands of people on the air, but it makes you uncomfortable if there's a small circle of people standing around. I do think that's interesting. So on National Face Your Fears Day, what we're going to do for you tonight here at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena is we're going to have you address the crowd from center ice right before the game with a pep talk.
See, that's funny, and I could do that. You know why? Because standing in center ice, as Jordan walks by, you can't see the crowd because of the lights.
So is that true, Jordan? Can you see the crowd
from the
ice?
If the lights are a certain way, you cannot see the crowd. And by the way, I've been on the stage before. I've been a lead singer in a band for over a decade. Bigger crowds are easier to deal with than smaller crowds because smaller crowds are more intimate and there's more of a chance of having to go one-on-one.
Okay, well, then here's what we're going to do then. We're going to have you make a presentation to the management team here at the Swamp Rabbits later today.
Well, we might be doing that here in about 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and I already told you I'm out. I am out.
We might be doing just that on National Face Your Fears Day. No, look, man.
Listen, you've already made me face my biggest fear, and you don't know what that is. It's interviewing, and
right.
and when we were at the golf tournament,
yeah.
and I had to talk to the guy over the entire thing. That was not prepared for, so I can handle it.
Oh, to get guests, right?
No. We were on the air when he came on the air, and it's just.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because we had, who did we have on? Miss America. And you did fine talking to Miss America. But when you have to talk to a golf club attendant, suddenly you get nervous.
Well, here's the thing. Miss America, you were drooling over her, so I was the only one who sounded coherent.
Lonzo, who wouldn't be drooling over Miss America? Okay, that was a
moment. I'm happily married.
That was a moment
here's
I will
the thing,
never
she
forget.
She had a beautiful singing voice, though, which I really enjoyed.
She most certainly did.
She's also good at deflecting.
She sang Cups by, is it Anna Kendrick?
Yes.
Yeah, Anna Kendrick. So,
which I had never heard the song before, but you brought it in.
I gave her a cup.
Had no idea. You're like, bring a cup. I'm like, what for?
She sang it beautifully, and that's what we're about here today, Lonzo. We're about personal growth, and honestly, man, I think you're doing a fine job. Another thing that I want to get to here, you know, the officiating in the National Football League has been a big bugaboo early this season. You know, through 6 weeks, they're averaging 18.1 penalties a game. You know what the highest was the last 10 years prior to that? 15.6. They're averaging 2.5 more penalties a game now than they are anywhere else. Guess what made it go down? Tom Brady, the God, the GOAT, your favorite player, Lonzo. Tom Brady saying that he couldn't watch a Thursday night game because of all the fouls, all the penalties. Guess what happened the next week? Tom Brady speaks, the penalties go down. I actually believe that players can manipulate the system in this way. If you've called one holding call against the Carolina Panthers, and let's say Greg Little, left tackle, holds on the next play. If I'm Greg Little, I'm thinking I can get away with a little bit more because they just called holding on the last play. If they call holding two plays in a row, who's the bad guy? The official. What about if there's two holding calls in a row? You know they're not going to call three holding calls in a row, right? So if you're an offensive lineman, if you're a receiver trying to hold a block, what can you do? What can you do? You can absolutely positively hold like mad. But you know what the biggest problem is in terms of the NFL's officiating? And this to me is something, it's amazing to me that nobody's talking about this.
That they screwed the lines out of the game?
You ever have that aha moment where it's like, how is nobody realizing this? How is nobody talking about this? You ready? There are no full-time officials in the National Football League. How absolutely and totally absurd is that? You want to complain about the officiating. How about we discuss the fact that the NFL is a multi-billion dollar annual business that does not even view its officials in enough of a standing to make them full-time, to make it a full-time profession. Remember Ed Hockley in the biceps? Guess what he did Monday through Friday? Attorney. Attorney Monday through Friday. You want these guys to determine a game that involves the passion and the fervor and the dollars and the morale of entire major cities, and you've got part-timers. You've got part-timers making the final calls. You know, Sean Payton has said he thinks and hopes that the NFL is going to go with full-time officials moving forward. But the NFL suspended a program in 2017 that had made 20% of its referees full-time employees. Why are 100% of NFL officials not full-time employees? I would argue that studying that profession, evaluating your performance on a week-in, week-out basis, having an official's home office where you go to work, you punch in, you punch out each and every day, you work one game a week, The work schedule might be very similar to the Monday Night Football crew. Joe Tessitore, Booger McFarlane, those guys work Thursday through Monday, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It is baffling to me, beyond the capacity of rational thought, how the NFL does not have full-time officials. Yet we complain about poor calls, bad calls, Patrick Brown, my Lions got screwed, so on and so forth. These are not full-time employees. You want them to be better? Compensate them. Give them benefits. Monday through Friday jobs. Work on Sunday. Make them full-time. This is lunacy to me.
Complete
and total lunacy.
I completely disagree with you. I don't think giving them full-time will change anything. They're making bad calls because the rules are not clearly defined in a lot of areas. And if they wanted to call holding, they could on every play. If they wanted to call pass interference, they could on every play. And, you know, I know a lot of part-time employees that are very good.
Of course.
And making them full-time won't make them any
better. Well, wait a minute. Okay. You just said it right there. You said that what the problem is, a lack of clarity on the rules.
Yes.
What can you do if you're full-time? Have more time to go over the clarity of the rules. What do these rules mean?
Yeah, but you just talked about Ed Hockley. He was a lawyer. If he doesn't understand it, how are you going to explain it to somebody else?
Well, because if you have 40 hours a week that you're devoting to it, Lonzo, suddenly you understand it a lot more. Another thing that really bashes my bananas is the fact that, you know, we've integrated this challenge for pass interference. Do you know that 25 of the last 26 pass interference challenges have been lost?
Yeah.
Do you understand that? You shouldn't even have that stinking rule because no one understands what you're reviewing anymore. You know how you would understand it? If you were devoting 40 hours a week to it. If there was communication between the league office and the officials. If these guys weren't relied on to just fly somewhere on Saturday to do a game on Sunday. It is mind-blowing to me that there are no full-time officials in the National Football League, yet we dare to complain about the caliber of officiating that we're seeing. All right, coming up next, a very special guest set to join the show, Offsides with Mark Ryan, live from the well, getting you set for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits home opener right here on ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We are live on location at the Well Bon Secours Wellness Arena, getting you set for the home opener of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits against the Jacksonville Icemen. Joining us right now is the president of the club. His name is Doug
Heinzer. It's Steve Donner.
Steve Donner.
It's
I got
okay.
Doug Heinzer down here.
We're both here today somewhere.
Okay, Steve, it's great to be joined by you today, and what a scene we've got coming up here tonight. Another home opener, another hockey season is upon us, and look, a ton of hope for this upcoming season, right?
Oh my gosh, we've worked so hard, Mark, in this off season. Our new affiliations, of which we've talked
sure.
about, I'm sure, you know, with Carolina and Florida, Panthers have really helped as well. And so, you know, we've really worked hard with a structure for this team. And the structure includes goaltending from the back, leadership up in front, toughness, speed. I think this team has it all. I think this team has it all this year.
It really does. And look, it's interesting. You know, it says you ordered the purchase of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits on January 3rd, 2018. So what made you want to partner with this organization in the manner in which you are?
You know, I've been in the business for almost 30 years, and, you know, I love the challenge of non-traditional markets. I was one of the original members of the Tampa Bay Lightning Group when we went into Tampa.
Do you know I'm from Tampa?
No, I didn't know that.
I'm from Tampa, and I always say to people, Steve, that you know, and so people wondering, hey, can this work here?
Yeah.
Can this work in Greenville, South Carolina? I tell people from all over the country, Tampa had no history with the sport of sport of hockey,
right.
And now in that city, the Lightning are the it ticket in town. They, going to those games is an event. It doesn't feel like going to a sports game. And you don't understand that unless you've been to a Tampa Bay Bucks game,
right.
A Tampa Bay Rays right. game with a dead atmosphere. Then you go to a Lightning game, and it's absolutely positively hopping. And I would call the Rays, and I would call the Bucks, and I would say, you guys need to study what the Lightning are doing. It's really special. And they've forged that vibe
yep.
with the community. They've created an atmosphere where they have 40 or 50,000 P1 hardcore fans in that area. I know that's what you're trying to do here. I've seen it already be successful. The Tampa Bay Lightning are a better ticket in Tampa than the Tampa Bay Rays are, an area that has a history with baseball and no history with hockey.
Yeah. It's funny when you say that, because when we were first there, you may recall the whole push was to get baseball.
Sure.
You know. In fact, you know, after the first year of Expo Hall, we went over to the Dome, you know, which was built for baseball. It was still sitting there empty. And so, yeah, I went through the interesting challenge and a little bit of a pain of what is hockey doing here, why hockey, not baseball, and then the absolute joy of watching people fall in love with the game. And you're right. We try to make it a fun event. We try to make it a party atmosphere. We try to make it, you know, really entertaining. When we went over the Dome, we had the whole Fanland area, which was almost like a 100,000-square-foot interactive theme park, basically. And, you know, we knew we didn't have pure hockey fans going in, but we knew we had a great product, and we were going to try to build our fan base a little at a time. And that's exactly what we're doing here.
See, this fascinates me. And Jordan, you know, I've as a new guy here to town, I've been getting to know the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. I didn't know that your president had an affiliation with the Lightning. Kudos to you. And our audience won't know this as well as I do, but the Lightning and Steve Donner, president now of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits,
wrote the book on customer service, on entertaining the crowd, on community relations, on, you know, building bonds within the community. That relationship between team and city is something special. And I'm and if you can imagine, my already heightened excitement has taken another couple notches up now hearing your background, because I know with your background there, I firmly believe you can replicate that here. As a new guy here, asking people, what does a new guy need to do here in town? What does a new guy need to experience? I can't tell you how often, Steve, people have said to me, you need to go see a Swamp Rabbits game. You need to go see a Greenville Swamp Rabbits game. You guys are building it. Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. One by one, brick by brick, fan by fan, it is happening. And I think tonight is going to be a great celebration, both of your efforts and the fine job that Jordan Coons has done here as the voice of the Swamp Rabbits as well.
I appreciate that. I think the thing that really comes through is you need somebody who's willing to shake every hand and welcome everybody in. And if there is one person that I know on this club that is the best at doing that, I mean, Steve is active with the newcomers that come in. If there are those that have concerns on social, he's right there addressing them personally, making the phone calls, getting to know people. He is really the ambassador, the statesman. He makes sure that everyone is in the right place, doing the right thing, and enjoying Swamp Rabbits hockey. So I have always appreciated that as a refined part of our organization, that there is someone who is that open to everyone here in Greenville to make that happen.
Well, thanks, you, Jordan.
So how do you turn around the on-ice product?
Well, you turn it around with a plan, first of all. And I think, you know, we inherited a team from the year before that we knew we had to rebuild almost entirely. And we went 1 year without an affiliation. So I think what we tried to do last year was build a core. Build a core of guys that wanted to be in Greenville, that could fill certain roles. And we were shopping for an affiliation, so the thought was if we have a core of guys coming back this year with a new affiliation, we can build around that core to fill in the blanks that we were missing last year. As Jordan probably pointed out numerous times, we lost 26 games by one goal. So we were just that finisher short. You know, we were looking for that big save from the goaltender. You know, so there was little things that we just couldn't get over the goal line last year. I think we've addressed almost all of it, you know, in the offseason here, starting with our goaltending in the back. You know, I think a big part of it, quite honestly, Mark, is leadership. You know, any winning team has to have that leadership in the locker room. And I think our leadership is going to be spread over a number of players this year. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I've often said, my opinion, that greater than 50% of the one-loss equation is intangibles. And I think fans a lot of times miss that fact. It's, you know, what kind of leadership do you have on the team? How close to an A grade are you at ownership, president, general manager, coach, captain? How close to an A grade are you? You look at who wins the Super Bowl in the NFL, the Patriots, from ownership to general manager to quarterback, right? How close are they to an A grade? It sounds like the correct philosophy is there here with the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, and I think building that leadership, building that camaraderie within the team is really going to help this team improve. Off to a great start, 4-3. You spoil Jacksonville's home opener, which has got to be sweet.
Really sweet for a number of reasons. You know, I came here from Florida for my last stop, so. You know, Bob Arablo, the president and one of the owners of Jacksonville, and I are very friendly rivals. We didn't do very well against Jacksonville last year, so
true.
Every one of those losses really hurt me, probably more than anybody else. And going in on an opening night with a sellout crowd with a new lineup, you know, and that game was an example of what I think can be different this year. Like, we took the lead, they came back, we were down in the third period, could have called it a night, and our leadership group lifted the team. We had some big saves from our goaltender, timely goals, a shorthanded breakaway goal to tie it up, and then one of our leaders winning it in overtime. You know, and I think that hopefully is going to set the tone for this team this year.
Yeah, there's no question to that. I mean, the ability of this club to get over the hump, and you talked about the winning equation coming down to A grade on everything. To me, it's also how do you react in stress situations, truly high stress? What do you do when you are pushed to your limit, when you are challenged in those moments? That's, let's say, in a playoff game, in a tie game. If you're stuck in your own zone, how is that player, that person, that part of the equation going to react in that high stress situation? And right now with the players that have been brought in, they're all of players that have been there done that, whether it was at the pro level, the collegiate level, junior level, they've been there. And that, to me, speaks volumes about the moves made this offseason, too.
It really does. So who are a few players, Steve, that you're particularly excited about this year?
How much time do we have to talk about?
Let's go. Let's do it.
Well, I think, you know, the boy, I know, you want to start in the back and work to the front, Jordan?
I mean, I would start right with Callum Booth off the bat.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a dynamite presence. Let's start there. He's one of the most unique people I've ever met in my life. But a goaltender that has only been in the league for a couple of years but has a winning percentage near 700. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And he's someone that I wouldn't be surprised gets the call at some point later this season, but we'll see. I hope not for his sake to be here, but he's someone that I would pick first.
I agree.
Probably.
He's a third-year pro. You know, he carries himself in the locker room like a third-year pro. For a goalie, he's a very normal guy,
right,
actually. And, you know, and you can tell he's here to do something. He's here to perform. You know, we have another goaltender, you know, Ryan Bednard, who, although he's a rookie, you know, a draft pick in the NHL and 6'5", I've been really impressed with him in the preseason. He does not look like a rookie in there. He has this calm presence, this, you know, he got a little bit of a swagger, I would say, for a rookie goalie. So starting with our goaltending, boy, you know, what a great start. And then, you know, Perkovic, who scored the winning goal for us, you know, has got a history throughout hockey. He's 33 years old. He's been at the highest levels. He's you know, was one of our rivals last year, and big 6'5" guy, tough to move. And so Kevin, our coach, said, you know, we couldn't move that guy all last year. Darn it, we're going to have him play for us, let them worry about moving that big body around. But, you know, I've really enjoyed watching him. He immediately, you know, you see in practice, he's quick to take some of the younger guys aside. So he's not only just worrying about his own, and he has a great work ethic, but he's out there sort of teaching the younger guys on the power play and things like that. So he's another guy to watch, I would
say. Yeah, one thing that was missing last year was presence. You know, and when I walked into the room, who was going to command that room? I walk in there and
love
immediately,
it.
Like Nathan Perkovic, you know he's there, not only because he's 6'5", but you just understand this man. You've sold him young. He's 34. He just turned
That's
34
right.
this week.
That's right.
He is a guy that you just know is there. He knows how to prepare himself. He knows when to dole out that advice, when to back off. He is that man that this team, in my eyes, really haven't been with them for the 72 games last year, was completely missing. And for him to start off with 4 points, ECHL player, runner-up of the week, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that to have your first game perhaps be your magnum opus.
Steve Donner, president of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Game will be heard on Word this evening on our Word Entercom Greenville station. Steve, if I'm somebody who didn't grow up with the sport of hockey, right? There was no hockey team around where I lived when I was a kid. But when you get me out to a game, I have a blast, right? My best hockey experience a few years ago was Game 6 in our station suite in Tampa, the Lightning versus Montreal Canadiens, right? Was a fantastic game, was a fantastic atmosphere. And I left saying to myself, man, if you're not a hockey fan and you go to a game, you will be
you
one.
Will be.
So if you were to give a pitch right now to those people like me who are sports fans but who grew up with college football being number one, right, and NFL football being number two, but they're totally open, we're all about entertaining our families, what would your pitch be to the casual sports fan listening right now?
Well, Mark, I've been telling a lot of people that you go into a Friday, go into a weekend, and you say, I'd like to try something totally different this weekend that I don't normally do maybe, or something that would just, you know, just knock my socks off. That's what we are. That's what, you know, coming to a Swamp Rabbits game is. You don't have to know anything about the game to love it. First of all, when you walk in this building, this is a major league facility.
Sure.
I mean, it has the presence, the digital, you know, power inside of the video boards and the lights and the music. So our event is sort of built for today's, you know, game. It's built for today's personality. It's
for something built in 1998, it was pretty forward.
It was way ahead of its time, quite honestly. You know, and our event's like 2.5 hours. You can almost set your watch by it. And from the time you come in, you know, your senses will get, you know, sort of pulverized by video, music. Once the game starts, it just grips you. Like, one thing about hockey, when you're here in person, it's a passionate game. The guys, you know, on both sides of that face-off are going at each other hard. And so you take the pace of the game, the physicality of the game, you know, the music, the video. Oh, man, it's a 2.5-hour ride that's so much fun. You'll never have a rainout. You know, you won't be sweating profusely.
You know, it's funny. I've been saying that baseball needs to become an indoor sport. You can't have postseason games rained out. You can't do that. You know, like, now I'm the assistant program director here, right? Mm-hmm. So I have to schedule these games. You know what a nightmare it is?
Sure.
When the Astros-Yankees doesn't get played? Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. No. It's absolute craziness. You don't have to worry about that here. You also, with baseball, you could be sitting there 7 hours, 15 in a game, 16 in a game, right? There's something that baseball doesn't capture in terms of it's lost the sense of urgency. You have that here. You have that here. You know, as Steve said, we're going to, here with the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, we're going to pulverize your senses on a night in, night out basis. Steve, we're excited about our partnership, and we're excited about your season here. Second full season here with the club. And we look forward to a great partnership. We look forward to a great year. Congratulations to you all on getting to this point. Away we go.
Well, thank you, and we are so excited about our growing relationship with ESPN, and we love, you know, having our weekly report on your show.
It's fantastic.
And I've heard such great things about the show as far as your ratings and your audience.
Thank you so much.
It is a privilege for us to be with you, and a privilege for us, you know, to be with ESPN.
It's I agree wholeheartedly as well, guys. To a great season. To a great season to you. We look forward to having you on again soon, and win number two coming your way tonight, guys. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks.
All right. Coming your way next, he's 0-3 on the year, which means he's suffered 3-week suspensions. Can Neil Pappas turn it around with his lock of the week next? We are live at the Well, getting you set for the home opener of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. I'll tell you, man, and I was telling Steve Donner this off the air. He couldn't have said anything that would have made me get more excited about the Greenville Swamp Rabbits and tell me that he was part of the ownership group that started the Tampa Bay Lightning in Tampa, Florida, my neck of the woods, because, you know, that team, that franchise, that city wrote the book on establishing a relationship, team and city, with a city that had no knowledge of the sport, no history of the sport. Now there is a flaming love affair between team and city. It's in fuego, Lonzo. It's absolutely in fuego. Joining us right now is a man who needs to, step up his game just a little bit.
Are you sure he's there?
Well, you told me he was there.
No, I did not.
Oh, I think Patrick told me he was there. Neil Pappas. Listen, here's what we're doing with Neil. We've been doing it each and every week. Neil is a P1 listener. He's also a professional handicapper. Each and every week, Neil gives us, and he doesn't like this word, but he gives us his lock of the week. The problem is, the first three times he's done this, the lock has been busted, okay? And each time Neil gets the pick wrong, he has suspended for a week from this segment on the show. He's 0-3 thus far this season. The odds say there's got to be a reclamation project here at some point. Right, Neil? Neil Pappas, Gator Neil, joins us right now on the show with his lock of the week. Good afternoon, my man. What's up?
What's up, Mark? What's up, Alonzo, Patrick? Hey, you know, it's funny because I was listening to one of your podcasts because I didn't get to listen one day. And I heard Lonzo talking about me, and I heard Lonzo saying that you're getting a good kick out of this, that I need to go ahead and pick a winner. And, you know, it's messed up, Mark, because the first 2 weeks you ended up making me change, or not making me, but kind of persuading me to change my pick, and I would have won both. Now, the first time I told you that the best pick of the week was not the one I was giving you because you wanted to decide, and I told you it was a total, I would have won. But, yeah, I've been terrible so far, so it is what it is.
Hey, listen, man, listen. I appreciate the fact that you don't quit. I appreciate the fact that you take a licking and keep on ticking. And I appreciate the fact that you're here to get your first pick of the year right today.
Listen, I hope you've learned your lesson. Don't do anything he asks you to do because there's something nefarious behind it.
Listen, the thing is, it's funny because, like, last week I had a terrible week in college. I missed four out of my top five plays. 2 weeks ago when I made the pick on the over on the UMass game, I missed that, but that particular Saturday, I was 8-3 against the spread, 11-3 for the whole week in college football. So, I mean, you know, picking one game is very difficult. It truly is. But the thing is, I keep putting too much pressure on myself. And the problem for me is I don't even actually put my picks in until Friday night. So when I make this pick, I'm studying all night Thursday, obviously throughout the week. And it just, there's five or six games that I'm trying to choose from, and it does make it difficult. That being said, I've just been terrible so far. But this is where the hot streak gets going, and Mark is not going to be making fun of me anymore. Matter of fact, he's going to be texting me for more picks.
Yeah.
Mark will vouch for one thing, though. When I come out and tell him, be careful, it's a trap game, every time I text him.
Oh, he's been on point. He's been on point every single time. Last week was Virginia and Miami, and I was like, well, how is Miami favored over Virginia in this game? Well, Miami has 34 four- and five-star players. Virginia had one. And you saw that play out.
2 weeks ago, it was Florida and Auburn, and the week before that, it was Appalachian State and North Carolina. So it's always something like that. I wouldn't say Florida and South Carolina is a trap game this week, but I would say I would definitely take the points in that game. So even as a Florida fan, it's not that the line doesn't make any sense. I just think everything is going towards South Carolina to not only cover, but maybe to win the game. So
Who do you got? You're upsetting me, Neil. So who do you got today?
The pick of the week, or you mean Florida and South Carolina?
Who do you got in your pick of the week?
All right, so let's get to the pick of the week. I'm going to stick with the total. I'm not going to go away from it this time. Last week, 2 weeks ago, I looked at something after I made that pick on your show, and it made me turn against that pick, but even though I ended up already picking it, so it didn't matter. But this one I've studied. I went back and restudied. I'm going to take Temple and SMU to go over 59.5. I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why, Mark. Number one is they both got quarterbacks. I love Shane Buechele even back when he was at Texas. I thought he was the only guy on that team that can make any plays. He's been tearing it up in SMU. 2 weeks ago, they were trailing by 21 in the fourth quarter. He ended up coming back in the fourth quarter at home and ended up going in overtime and winning. So they're one of the lone unbeatens in college football. They can score points in a hurry. Temple has a guy named Anthony Russo who can also swing the ball around. They have a pretty decent running attack. Over their last eight games against what I call explosive offenses, which are big-time offenses, you know, top 30, top 35 offenses in the country, they're averaging more than 80 points per game between them and their opponent. So that tells me that they're actually trying to outscore their opponents. They're not trying to play any defense. Their defense is not very good. As far as SMU, we all know that, I mean, Sonny Dykes he's one of my least favorite coaches in all of the land because the dude doesn't know when to let off the gas. Which hopefully this week, if they have a lead, he doesn't take it this week and let off the gas. But both teams also have two big-time receivers. Actually, Temple's got three pretty good receivers that's got over 400 yards receiving this year. So in Blue, Mack, and Wright. Temple is also 8-4 to the over as an underdog and 5-2 as a road underdog. And the home team SMU is 10-5 as a favorite to the over, and even better, 8-2 as a home favorite. So I believe everything works out. I believe this is going to be a high-scoring game. I could see it probably around 80 points, exactly where Temple's averaging over their last eight games, like I said, against explosive offenses. And so I like a ton of points. I like it to be something like probably 41-30, somewhere around there.
41-30, his pick of the week. How about in 30 seconds, Florida and South Carolina? I don't like where you're leaning because I know you might be right. Our official pick's coming up at 3:40. Who you got in that one?
Florida, very close, and I'm going to go ahead and give you guys a trap game. This is actually in the professional level. Indianapolis and Houston. Stay away from Houston. I'm telling you right now, Indianapolis is going to beat them straight up.
Why?
That's my trap game of the week. But because the line doesn't make any sense, the public's all over the road team, And yet Indianapolis is still getting bet up because of the sharp money. That tells me everything I need to know. As far as South Carolina, Florida, I have a bad feeling, Mark. I'm going to say we're going to win close, but I do truly have a bad feeling about the game.
Yeah, I do too.
Appreciate it, Mark.
I do too.
You guys have a good weekend.
Hey, thank you. Always appreciate it. Neil Papadopoulos, Gator Neil, right here on Offsides. He's got Temple and SMU over 59.5, and Paul Feinbaum has a lot of upset Clemson fans. We'll share with you why next. Live at the Well for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits home opener. This is the number one rated sports radio show in Greenville County. It's Offsides with Mark and Lonzo, ESPN Upstate.
That's just ridiculous. I know we're back on, but that's ridiculous.
What's that? What's that, Lonzo?
That's not a local story.
It's not a local story.
It's a very important story.
Well, we might get to it at the top three.
He is the face of the NFL.
And he's not playing very well lately at that. All right. Hey, did you hear this? He's at it again, ladies and gentlemen. This guy just can't help himself. What happened between Paul Feinbaum and Clemson? What happened between Paul Feinbaum and Clemson fans? Did you hear what Paul Feinbaum had to say about your Clemson Tigers this week?
Hello, Randy.
I want someone to please tell me why Clemson keeps falling in the polls and they keep winning.
Why do Clemson fans just have to cry every day? Quit crying. I mean, you're the defending national champion.
Not crying,
is that?
Paul.
Oh, yes, you are. You're crying.
I'm not crying, Paul.
Does he have a point?
Hello, Randy.
Are Clemson fans always crying?
Yes, they're always crying.
Really?
They can't get enough respect. You need to puff out your chest and shout it from the rooftops that they are the best or you're being disrespectful.
Well, the proof of that is how obsessed they are with everything South Carolina's doing. You know, I've been at multiple Clemson home games now, and the fans leave early to go watch the South Carolina game in their tents. I've never seen anything like that any place else. At Florida games, they're not under their tents watching Florida State. I promise you, Florida State doesn't matter. The only thing they care about is what the orange and blue are doing. I think there's that deep-seated feeling like you've got to puff your chest out from years of disrespect. I really do. Hey, how about your chance at $1,000 with a $1,000 free cash dash? The word of the hour is sunshine. That's sunshine, S-U-N-S-H-I-N-E, sunshine, which is never around when Lonzo's next to me. Text that keyword to 72881. That's 72881. The free cash stash right here on ESPN Upstate. A little foreshadowing. Lonzo was critical of me just a minute ago here on the air. We just might get to that story next in the Moe's Southwest Grill Top 3 at 3 right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.